Let us prepare ourselves to hear the word of God. Let us pray first. Gracious and most holy God, thank you for giving us the word of life in Jesus. As we hear this scripture this morning, may our hearts be open and our ears and minds receive what you would have us hear this day. Holy Spirit, dance and delight amongst us, connecting us to your words of salvation through your Son, Jesus, that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. And Jesus said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to the judge and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while, he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? So I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. You may be seated. So we're in this little season of wrestling with faith. It's not unlike the story of Jacob returning to his brother and wrestling with God through the night and said, "I will not let you go until you bless me. Tell me who you are." And they wrestled through the night, and then Jacob, you know, holding on until dawn, received that blessing from God and was permanently reminded of that wrestling because of a pain in his hip. That he was permanently changed because of his perseverance and persistence on getting this blessing from God. Now, if you're not familiar with that story, I invite you to go and read Genesis. I don't recommend you do it through the entire, I mean, yes, read the whole thing at one time, but it'll take you 6 hours. But just this idea of how persistence is something that is echoed throughout the narrative of Holy Scripture. And today, as we come and hear these words of Jesus, that Jesus oftentimes didn't just outright tell you what you needed to know. That he would teach in a side way, and in this case through a parable, of giving an illustration through a story in order to teach a message that might have been relatable. It's not unlike us saying, you know, y'all could probably think, and my brain is not working to think of what those might be, but, you know, I'm drawing a blank. I'm reaching and I can't get it, but I will persevere. I will be persistent in proclaiming the word of God today. But you know what I mean? Where we tell this story as a teaching moment, right? And Jesus did the same. And even those who heard didn't always understand what Jesus was trying to teach. And particularly when we root ourselves in the Gospel of Luke, we know that Luke was really meant to reach those who were on the fringes, who were on the margins, the least, the last, and the lost. And this is no different. We have this story of this widow who would have had no claim on an inheritance, who likely had no political clout, and yet would go to the one person in society that could have advocated on her behalf. And he wouldn't even listen to her, right? But she kept going. And she kept going. She kept going to the point where the judge finally says, "Oh my gosh, let me go ahead and hear her, because I'm tired of her coming to me." It makes me think about some of those times when, at least for me with children, that there's something that they want or something that they want to do, and they keep asking, "Hey mom, can we do this? Hey mom, can we do this? Hey mom, can we do this? Hey mom, can we do this? And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, can you just please stop asking?" Right? And they quickly learned that if they kept pestering, the answer immediately was going to be no. Immediately. If you're going to do that, the answer is no, and there's no way you're going to have any possibility of getting what it is that you want. Right? And if it's something that if you ask me once in a very considerate way, I might say yes straight away. Be like, "Yeah, sure, no problem. We can totally do that. Let's make that happen." And then there are those times where I'm like, "Well, maybe, let's see. Let's just wait and see." And they're like, "That's going to be a no." And I said, "If you do that, it will be a no." And I said, "Maybe I need to think about it and really kind of move through this." And so this widow is going to this judge that, one, let us be very clear, was not a judge of God. Had no reverence for God. Did not fear the Lord. And had no respect for the people. So who did he answer to? Do you see what I mean there? If you're not answering to God and you don't care about the people that you've been called to serve, who are you answering to? Yourself? If you don't care about God and you don't care about the people, why are you doing the job that you're doing? Right? And then that just makes me go down the whole biblical imagination thing and being like, well, it was a respectable position. Maybe his parents forced him into law school and he's living into this job that he doesn't really want to do. But it's a paycheck, right? Like, I could be totally sensitive to that. I mean, that echo, you know, I think some of us have been on that path and trajectory, right? We don't know. All we know is that he didn't worship God. And because he didn't worship God, he didn't have a heart like God. And God was always on the side of justice. God is always on the side of those who are oppressed. God is always on the side for those who are overlooked by society. God is the one who said, "You shall take care of the widows and the orphans amongst you. Leave your fields not fully tended to the margins so that those who need food can pick it for themselves." God was a God of justice and mercy and grace. So we know that if this judge wasn't holding on to that or known the teachings of God, then maybe he was called to serve the people, right? Maybe he had a heart for the people. But scripture tells us otherwise. Right? Like, had no respect for the people, which probably means, was he really fair in his interactions with the people who came to him? You know, so then was he holding to the letter of the law? You know, with impartiality, maybe. But remember this, the law of God's people was a law of love. And if you don't respect the individual, then you can't live into that law of love. So here is this judge, and I don't want to paint this judge in a terrible light, because I think we've all found ourselves in that position. Some moment in our lives. And yet God's grace continues to work through that. So maybe in this widow's perseverance and coming to the judge, even knowing that the judge doesn't worship the God she does and doesn't really care for those that are on the margins, it was the only path she had to make things right, The only path she had was to go to this judge. And eventually, because she showed up and showed up and showed up, the judge saw her and heard her cry, her plea. So when we are in Bible study and we hear scripture, there are three questions, and y'all have heard, some of you have heard these before. First, what does this passage tell us about God? About the nature of God, what can we learn? The second question that we have to ask is, what does this tell us about humanity, people, me, if I find myself in this story? What does this tell me about me? And then the third question is, what does this passage tell us about the nature between God and humanity, God and me, this relationship, the story, the connections? And that's where Jesus comes into this, because he's giving this illustration, and we could translate that into all the facets of our lives. And Jesus says, at the very end, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith among his people? And that's what we're wrestling with, this idea of faith. Faith is holding on to something that we can't necessarily see, holding on to the hope of how God is working in and through the world. Faith is, even when the times get hard, that we don't give up. We keep doing it. We keep going. We keep praying. We keep gathering. We keep doing the work of Jesus, even if we can't see how that's making an impact, because we stand on the side with God of taking care of our people, our community, because God loves them and loves us, and so therefore we will do likewise. So Jesus, in all of this, is saying, do you hear what I'm asking of you? Are you going to pay attention to those in your community who are crying out for justice? Are you going to hear those crying out to say, will you see me in my full humanity? Will you see me in my full divinity, knowing that I, like you, are a beloved person of God? And when Jesus comes again, will faith prevail? So we are these people who are waiting. And when I think about it in this way, aren't all faiths waiting for something? So for us, because we gather here and Jesus is the lens through which we look at our lives and move, we knew that God came in flesh incarnate through Jesus and showed us through his hands and feet what a life of discipleship and following in love and mercy and grace can look like. And yet we know that Christ died and was risen and will come again. We hold on to that because that is the culmination of God's redemption story for all of creation, for all of humanity, for all people, to bring everyone into this relationship of love and grace and mercy with God. So we, as I was taught, we stand in the now and the not yet. Like, we are here in this present moment, believing in the things that we do, and we know that not all things have been fully realized. It's not an either or, it's a both and. And if we're standing in this space, it calls us to live in a place and in a posture of being that acknowledges that it can happen right now. It is right now. And it's going to get better in the not yet. So if we stand in this place of it is happening right now, this kingdom building here on earth, if Jesus was going to come today into this place at Holly Springs UMC, would Jesus see our faith loud and clear? I think so. And here's why. every week we gather here for holy worship. Not just every other week or once a month or when we feel like it. Every week we come to hear the word of God, to be shaped by God's grace, to live a life that reflects what God is doing in us and in the world. Now we do take one Sunday off. Does anybody know what Sunday that is? Well, we have brunch church. We like to eat. I mean, what am I going to say? It's the Sunday after Christmas, right? We take a Sabbath Sunday because even God rested, but we do that with intentionality, right? Like, we understand that. And there are things that we do every year that reflect this holding on to Jesus coming. Friends, do we hold Bible studies? Yeah. Do we pray for one another? Oh, yeah. Do we offer youth group for our youth and our young people? Do we offer opportunities for our younger elementary age kids to grow in their own faith? Yeah. Do we offer opportunity to be in fellowship with one another? Yeah. Do we offer opportunities to serve those in our community? Yes. Do we hold opportunities to serve those into the world? Yes. So we are persistent in how we show up. That even when we may not see how the end is going to be, we know that God will reconcile all things, and we're going to live right now that that is our truth. That is the promise to which we cling. So what are some of the ways that we can be persistent in our faith this week and in the weeks ahead? Let's give some concrete ways for you to manifest that and live into it. Can y'all think of any? Miss Dean is shaking her head. Absolutely. You know, Miss Deanie, she makes pillowcases for people, particularly those that we baptize and bring, recognize as a community being brought into the family of God. And yes, Ryder's over here. Yes, Ryder. In your baptism, we will celebrate Miss Deanie. Already knows that. You will be part of the special Miss Deanie club when you get your own pillowcase, right? Or how about those who've received a loaf of bread when they first came into the space? Yeah, yeah, that's a persistent act of faith. And next Sunday, we're going to be hosting Trunk or Treat. We do that because we want the kids in our community to know that this is a place that they are welcome without any expectation or something in return, to just model hospitality. But I'm going to tell you, it takes all of us. So friends, if you haven't signed up yet for your trunk, all you got to do is stand in a parking spot and give the kids candy. Now you can take it and be really creative of it if you want to. I think I'm going to do a campfire and dress my dog up as a s'more. I don't know that she'll let me do that, but it was either that or dress her up like a baby Ewok and, you know, me show up as Princess Leia, you know, so it's kind of one of those things. But you don't even have to do that. You just need to show up. Demonstrate your persistent faith. Because do you know what else happens next Sunday at Trunk or Treat? We'll be selling quilt raffles. We're going to have a bake sale. Why? Because we're raising funds to support Rise Against Hunger so that we can feed the world. Friends, that's what persistent faith looks like, is to show up and be present and live life as a community. So the invitation is there, and the question for us remains, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in this place? With God's help, I'm sure Jesus would. And in the meantime, we're going to live that life of persistent faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.